Hello folks, welcome to my talk. I'm Akash Deep Dhar. Today I'm going to talk about Linux distribution state of gaming. I'll talk a little bit about myself first. So basically I'm someone who has been contributing to Fedora project for around a couple of years before they thought, you know, the folks who actually help the Fedora distribution as a corporate entity, they thought that, well, I'm not going to leave anyway, so they might as well hire me. So the next thing that I find myself doing is actually working as a software engineer for a team that manages infrastructure for Fedora as well as CentOS. It's called the Community Platform Engineering Team. As well as, you know, just because Fedora is kind of close to my heart, I mean, it's kind of CentOS at this point in time, but misappropriation. I work for Fedora Council as well as being the objective representative for the Fedora Websites and Apps team. Gaming has been a prime concern for me, especially having laptops that don't quite run games. So the thing that I used to do is have distributions that can actually have a greater headroom assigned to that game instead of running some fancy stuff in the background. So that is what has been the entry point for Linux distributions for me. So over the course of last 5 years, I have written and demonstrated multiple talks, multiple articles around how to be able to run video games on GNU Linux distributions, how to be able to benchmark them, and, well, driver installers too, while we're at it. Right, so I watched this movie called Zootopia, and there's this fox character that I can't remember the name of. So he tells that, you know, the best way of giving a talk is to ask a question to themselves first and then answering that question. So I guess I'll do that. So we're going to ask ourselves three questions about the state of gaming in Linux distributions. The first being, is it popular? The second being, is it convenient to make happen? And the third being, is it performant? Like, why even consider gaming on Linux distributions when there is some other consoles, there are other platforms which are actually willing to do that? So it certainly is popular. I mean, we can totally thank our friends at Valve for the Steam Deck and for other people who run a lot of games on their Android iPhones. I mean, Android is Linux, all right. But then again, is it the way we kind of want it to be popular? So there's this small asterisk over there. We have things for emulation. We have things, operating systems dedicated for running video games, like distributions like Bartosera Linux, Laka, which runs RetroArch and nothing else on the bottom of it. Then there's this thing called RetroPie, which runs emulation stations. So if you must have gotten yourself a Raspberry Pi and looked for something in the internet, some DIY tutorial, it's probably one of the first 5 things you will end up seeing. And finally, consoles that actually use Linux on the top of them. Speaking of convenience, it is convenient. Is it convenient to run Linux distributions for gaming? And you most certainly will have different opinions regarding the kind of configurations that you want to do. If you want to tailor fit your stuff, get the frame rates that you want and the quality that you need, there are more configuration tools like Barebones Wine, RetroArch, so that you can tailor fit your stuff, or something like Android phones or Steam Deck, which can do that for you. And finally, we have performance. Now, I have seen this over the course of years, running video games on Linux, the things that are supposed to run on Windows, that if the games run, well, if they do, they usually end up being 15 to 30% more performant. You can totally find the references in the slide deck if the font's a bit too small. But yeah, this thing is actually the case. But what exactly is the sacrifice here? Also, I mean, I can pass through a GPU. If I have this big GPU, I can pass it through virtual machines and have near-native performances instead of doing, say, on a hardware that is totally not okay for a certain game to run. But yeah, why exactly do I have those asterisks out there? If it's performant, if it's convenient, if it's popular, then what's with the terms and conditions apply kind of thing that I have over there? And well, there are things that we're missing out. So one of the first things that we do is, it is popular, people are enthusiastic about it, but less people are enthusiastic about it. And it's usually the people who'd like to spend their hours configuring things, writing config files, hacking stuff to be able to run some games on their desktop or their handheld devices that run Linux distributions. and that's barely around 1.38%. And that's the source about where I got that 1.38% from. It is something that has been going up since the last couple of years. Here again, we have the friends at Valve to thank for the Steam Deck that we are getting increased usage. But a lot of these usages are totally going unaccounted for because telemetry is a big no-no for us. And we definitely advertise telemetry as something that we should not do. And well, when there are things like Lutris, things like RetroPie, RetroArch, then Play on Linux, Wine, these tools are doing the best that they can do. But guess what? We don't get to know how exactly are these being used. And as a result, the publishers, they think that, well, Linux distributions, who uses Linux distributions? Why should we port our games to Linux distributions? We better not. We might as well create them for other platforms. Well, I won't name any, but with comparatively higher market share, right, of our consoles. Because guess what? Consoles are supposed to be for gaming, not for writing code. And then, you know, third-party developers, they don't bother. They don't really care. They're like, ah, fine. They'll use their stuff to emulate our games on their platform. They call Wine an emulator. We know the difference. They probably don't. So I go, have my friends, have a conversation with my friends that, yeah, you play this game on Windows. Here's how it can run on Linux. And they're like, oh, my God, that's too many configuration files. That's too many hours of work. And all my friends are on Windows, so sorry about that, brother, but I'm going to be at Windows as well. And the other person, they try installing games, but guess what? It's a multiplayer game, so and it's like, oh, no, we don't recognize this platform, so you're cheating. That kind of stuff that totally puts people off. They don't want them to be here, even though they totally are not. Talking about convenience, it's convenient for some people. I kind of count myself in the minority because I can totally go behind the screen, do hours of stuff. But for what about others? You know, what about the folks who just want to spend some time playing games on a weekend? You know, someone who have a busy life. So you don't expect them to actually sit behind their computer screens for like 5 hours configuring stuff, right? You want them to actually be able to play games on the get-go. It does not quite happen that way for the most parts. Few games work as it is. Some of them require minimal configuration, like some slides here, some slides there, maybe some versions of DXVK. But others, they don't work at all. And you know, you don't get to know that they don't work unless you spend hours of it banging your head on the wall, trying to make them work, and then you realize that they really don't. So the convenience, like, they follow through steps, but just because the Linux distributions are so fragmented, we have a certain version of package manager in a certain distribution, there's a certain way certain rootfs are installed, stuff like that, so you can't quite expect a certain steps to actually work on one distributions and to be replicated on something else. There would be certain steps that would be required in between, and it only comes with experience. But can we expect experience? Of course not. So people have difficulties with doing that, and then people don't really want to spend time, and it's all valid, because guess what? People are there to play games, not to become contributors in an open source software, right? Finally, about performance, right? So one of the things that happens with performance is the fact that there are games that run comfortably, right? All fine, good frame rates, good graphics, whatsoever. At the very same time, if you use that same distribution, you thought that, oh, this runs Final Fantasy. I might as well run Warframe with that. Bam, it won't happen. It won't even load up, let alone have good frame rates in that. So there is some tailor fitting required, but that tailor fitting is, you know, works for one thing, but it does not work for something else. So you don't have this one-size-fits-all kind of a solution for gaming, which is sad, but then again, it is what it is right now. And, well, there are some publishers who do not even support these environments. They're like, nope, not this, not that, nothing at all. We won't let Linux users play our games, because that's not how we do things.
And
look, people are able to get frame rates. I was able to get a lot of frame rates, good performance, but there have been times when it has been all inconsistent. Such thing has happened with my friends as well, using a variety of Linux distributions. So it's definitely not just Fedora Linux, but my friends who actually use PopOS just because it allows for having NVIDIA drivers installed from the get-go. So you don't really have to, you know, pop open a terminal and do some crazy voodoo, according to my non-technical friends, to be able to install drivers. It just works from the get-go. But guess what? Even they have some inconsistent performances. And then there are ports that are for Linux, but just because they are not a lot of takers, here again, telemetry. Just because people don't get to know that there are actually people playing their games, trying hard to actually make them compatible, people pull them out, even if there was a version at some point in time. Right, so if all I have are complaints, is it all bad? Is it something that does not run at all? What is it like? You know, it's quite the opposite. It's not bad. The community has been doing a great job. If I were to look back 10 years ago, people had to use Wine as it is, right? And it's a it's a tool that gets things done, but then again, if you want things to be done, things need to be abstracted for you to be able to understand it. And if someone of a web developer is made to understand the things that go behind the scene, oh my God, then it's totally not worth of doing. So there are tools like Lutris, Play on Linux, that abstract the stuff that Wine do. So it's a lot better right now than it has ever been before. But then again, there are things that we can totally do to make things a lot more better than they are right now. So there's a silver lining. It's a small market share. People can be unsatisfied with big config files and stuff like that. But here are six ways that I think, you know, it's all subjective. There can be other things that people can think as well that I can add my list and make it 60 probably. But one of the things that people need to understand is if it were really a technical challenge, right? So we have a lot of people working hard to make these things work. Drivers, no matter how hard it can be for the proprietary drivers, the proprietary blocks, the kernel modules to be loaded up, people are working hard. But people are not understanding how exactly is it affecting or influencing the gamers, the folks who actually use GNU Linux distributions to be able to play these games. So there should be some way of open metrics, you know, some kind of telemetry that is not shady. It does not look through your context and understand that, oh, this person reaches out to this at a certain point in time. Not that kind of metrics, but rather, what exactly is the tool, what exactly are the workflows that are used in order to make these video games work. So these reliable metrics should be implemented for the developers to understand that, yeah, their works are indeed worth it. And for the publishers, because, oh boy, they think that the market share is small. So in order for the rise in market share, which has been, for the most part, the ones that we get to see from Steam, we should have more than that. So I don't know if there are metrics in Lutris, bottles, or emulators. And I guess there's not, apart from the ones that they themselves collect. Because guess what? They really want to see if their stuff works or not. And how exactly can they improve their own software? But does it like add up to the entire GNU Linux gaming metrics and make people understand that, yeah, folks using Lutris, folks using bottles, folks using Steam Deck, folks using Android, they all combine together as being a market share for this entire gaming? I don't think so at this point in time, but this is something that we should definitely consider. The next thing, of course, is to account for feedback and promote participation. So I have seen in the course of last many years that if you make people feel like they are being heard, no matter what kind of project it is, if it's just creating some websites or deploying things on the infrastructure, or be it about gaming, if people are heard, if the features that they suggest, if the bugs that they tell is bothering them are implemented, chances are that they will tell their friends that this is something, this is some kind of tool that they make use of and they should make use of as well. And I like to think that reporting for bugs is also a very valuable contribution. So, you know, being empathetic to the users, understanding, you know, by putting themselves on their shoes, what kind of issues that they end up facing. And finally, understanding the tools that people make use of. If there are a lot of dials, if there are a lot of drop-downs, if there are a lot of things that people have to do before they are able to run their games, it's probably not the most convenient of way of doing so. So you can't quite expect a person coming back home after a long day to be able to tweak those stuffs and make them work. So the usability of them, how do we make it more convenient, should be something that we should look into in these distributions. You know, kind of streamline the entire workflow in order to make sure that people know where exactly they need to go to get a certain function, to get a certain settings applied. And that's more about the convenience of, you know, so that people can focus solely on the video games and not around the operating system that's built for the sake of running games. Because trust me, if you have a PC operating system, you know, video games are the one thing out of 1,000 things that you will do. So it just makes it a lot more easier to focus on what they want. For convenience, we totally should be able to abstract complex things when we need to. So customization is fine. It's one of the reasons why we are fragmented, and I'm kind of thankful for it, so that I have a choice that I can customize a distribution of my own kind to be able to make something to serve a certain purpose. But for the folks who don't need, it's going to be overwhelming. They're going to be really scared of all those options put out there in front of them, and they'll be like, oh my God, nope, definitely not. And they'll run back to the thing that they were playing games on. So it's definitely not something that we would want to do. Being able to provide a balance between the two of them and, you know, organically finding, oh, fine, this person is scrolling down the menu, so probably it's looking for something that's a lot more extensive than what we have provided for. Some kind of organic way to find it and to be able to demonstrate how they can do it is a way that would strike a good balance between the complicated looking stuff and the people who really want to get their job done as quick as possible. Finally, for distributions that actually prioritize these tools, these workflows, these applications, these should be available like natively in their own repositories, or there should be a way to be able to install them and not like build from source or like dot slashing them out of the blue, because who runs shell script files anyway, right? You should definitely read them. Drivers, codecs, kernel modules, and things like that, if you don't have a way to update them natively, trust me, it's really a bad choice to be able to using that distributions. Say, people are here to play games, not to build software from source. So definitely we should consider having all of these things packaged natively. And finally, to build standard workflows to be able to test and quantify that, yeah, what is good performance, what is bad. Now, me, I can be really biased towards good performance. Even if I see 60 frames per second on a 165 hertz screen, I can tell that is good. But for someone else, it's like, oh no, it's just like one third of that frame rate. How do you call it a good performance? In that very case, we need to understand and tell that, yeah, this is the criteria that was used to tell that, yeah, this video game actually runs, and this video game does not and could use some more work before it's able to be, well, executing the way it should be. And when we have all of these things in place, probably the publishers of AAA titles, popular ones at that, will be able to understand that, yeah, there is some kind of standards used in this fragmented world of distributions to be able to understand that, yeah, if we follow these rules to be able to create our games, it will have a compatibility with at least 85%, 75%, I'm saying this from the top of my head, but at least majority of distributions will not have a problem, and you won't be actually told to use a certain distribution just because, well, your friend uses it. So let's have a case study of Fedora Workstation in the end. So we have had distributions based on the top of Fedora Linux distribution. Nobara Workstation, they have added meaningful additions on the top, so to be able to make sure that people who really are willing to focus on video gaming, they don't have to install much stuff on the top of it. And you know, it's heavily popular with the folks who develop bottles and lutris because they get the latest and greatest stuff in the official repository, so they don't really have to go out of their way to do so. And then the required tooling to be able to run these games, drivers, and the ability to install them from RPM Fusion just in case they're proprietary in nature is totally possible. And the fact that the GNOME desktop, well, what can I say? It's just one of the great ones. I'm a bit biased. Say, you know, it totally keeps the workflows aligned and, well, unintrusive. And finally, talking about the consistent performance, well, let's just say that the configuration should be done in a modular manner so as to make sure that if I do certain thing, I can copy that stuff and give it to my friend. Here's, you know, you don't have to spend many hours like I did. Paste that stuff and this should be running. Or something a bit more polished than that, but basically, no more repeating of efforts. And, you know, customizable enough to be actually minimize the footprint of the operating system, the distribution itself, to be able to dedicate more of that performance over to the actual video games. And that's pretty much about it. I'm totally open to your questions.
Thank you for your talk. I got the impression that you're pushing for telemetry to be used more. Would that be right?
Well, let's just say I'm pushing for an open telemetry. So you get to see what kind of information is being shared with the folks and what folks are you sharing that with. So you don't think that, oh, it's a shady number of information and with a shady number of folks that it is shared with, right? So telemetry is important. There are software that have telemetry like pre-built, and they have it natively done. But then again, it's just a limited set of telemetry people. Once we unify this and have a place where we can say that, yeah, it's coming from them, so there's something that we can improve upon in the distributions level so that we can understand that, yeah, a certain application or an emulator is acting up and there's something that we can act on. Any more questions?
Hey, thank you very much. I think on the telemetry side, there's a fundamental metric that the developers look at, which is sales. So I think the main thing is, like, there is a sort of 1% to 2% audience on Linux that will buy games. I think that's pretty clear. I think there are other advantages for developers having Linux users in early. We tend to report bugs, and if we do that in a helpful and non-annoying way, then we can be an asset, particularly to the trend of people doing early access releases and wanting engaged users. So I think that's the thing that you can think about. Supporting early access games, supporting stuff on itch, I think is helpful. The other side is, like, if you just want to play games, by far the easiest thing to do is ignore your distribution, install Steam. Proton handles the config wrapping around Wine really conveniently, and the best game of the last 5 years was released natively on Linux anyway, so play Slay the Spire. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You know, one of the things that you mentioned, that probably we could have some kind of telemetry done in a central basis, and the fact that the early access can be something that we can provide to people using Linux. It's one of the things that we can totally use to actually increase our market share and make people really feel like that, yeah, it's worth it if you give it a try, and people might end up actually buying it. When it comes to Proton, I mean, geez, they have done a marvelous job by abstracting what's not important or what's totally really, really scary, might scare people away out of the room, leave their Steam decks that they have purchased with their hard-earned money, and to be able to play games while they're on the go. So it's some kind of a abstraction that, you know, keeps things convenient that we are all looking for. And there should be a balance, so people should not be like, oh, geez, it's so abstracted that I can't do anything anymore, right? So that should definitely not happen. All right, folks, I'm going to give way to our next talk. Please find me over here if you have more questions. Thank you so much again.